being different on either side. And so you can't discount the terroir. I think they've really got the whole package. You know, garbage in, garbage out, high quality in, high quality out. They've got the best terroir. They're getting some really highly, highly customized barrels from the cooperage, and their techniques all combined to make a really spectacular product.
Kudos, Mr. Evans.
The nitrates of mead wine.
Whoever that is.
Yeah, it's just, I was very excited when we got the opportunity to get these. I mean, I was aware of this estate, but I hadn't had anything from them. But a few people I've talked to have said, "Oh yeah, you're going to love it." So, I mean, for me, this is fantastic. It's just, it's on the nose. There's a lovely stony minerality to it. It's almost, you know, they always talk about like a Rutherford dust, you know. I don't believe this is Rutherford, but it's got that dustiness, that minerality to it on the nose. It's got a lovely, just bright red berries, and on the palate, just a weightiness to it, a lovely heavy weightiness to it, that herbal, like you said, just beautiful wine. What did you think, Justin?
So when we first poured this wine, I got very distinct elements on the nose, and they blended over time. When we first poured it, I got pencil shavings, plums, mineral water, unripe lemon. Over time, it just all blended together to become something beautiful. The palate started off as closed off, earthy, but it had great depth. And I got like a camel menthol flavor on the palate. That faded off with oxidation and just became kind of like a creamier Oakville kind of thing. Like Oakville's kind of known for this dryness and depth, and this is just a little creamier.
All right, we'll be back.
Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation, riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back, and we were just wrapping up our discussion of the Roy Estate Mr. Evans Proprietary Red 2019. Have any more words of wisdom?
Not a one.
Yeah, this one's just, Lord, it just gets better the longer it sits there. So we're going to be giving the Roy Estate Mr. Evans Proprietary Red a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Again, when I got the opportunity to try this wine, I was excited. So, and that's going to take us to our second wine from Roy Estate. We're going to have Denise tell us about that one.
Perfect. So this is the Roy Estate Cabernet Sauvignon 2019. It's 93% Cabernet Sauvignon, 7% Petit Verdot. Excuse me, and 15.2% ABV. There are 572 cases produced, so get it while you can. The fruit for this release is 100% single vineyard, estate grown, and was harvested between October 4th and October 24th, 2019. The grapes were crushed into open-top fermenters, concrete tanks, and oak barrels, and macerated for 21 days. It was 100% barrel fermented and aged for 28 months and 100% new Terroncelle French oak barrels with no fining and no filtration. Sounds like there's it should be key. Good.
There's your key. Just leave it alone. Don't filter right. it out. Don't filter out all the good bits.
Exactly.
It's like chill filtration in whiskey. It's just evil and it should never be done, and just leave it alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you can't handle it getting a little cloudy and put some ice in it, the hell with you. If you, don't filter it. God made it that way. Leave it alone.
That should be the next good big point. Law after the Bottled and Bond Act is stop filtering your whiskey.
Exactly. Stop filtering your whiskey. Stop filtering your wine. Leave it alone.
Yeah. Exactly.
The market will adapt to cloudy.
You're right.
If it doesn't, then we just have more for us.
Yeah. Right.
That's fine.
Well, this wine is beautiful in color. It is a dark ruby red. The nose is pretty amazing. Anyone that knows me knows how much I love blueberries. And for me, the blueberries come through, the cassis. And here we go again with our fresh herb mixture of thyme and tarragon and probably a few other things. And how lovely is that? The palate, I get more blueberries. And of course, you get the mineral notes and the anise. Apparently, there's a little bit of eucalyptus and mint that I haven't found yet, but I'll keep trying. And I'm sure some of that will shine through. The finish is pretty fantastic for me. It's got a beautiful mouthfeel on the finish, which is interesting. And I think it's a nice long finish that makes you want to come back for more. It was a little tight. It could either use a little more time in the glass. So I think it's only going to get better, but it's delicious just the same. Anybody like to weigh in on this delicious wine?
Well, I would agree with most of what you said, except for me. I like them young, and I thought this was delightful. It definitely needed some air.
You said that.
That gets people in jail, sir.
You said that sitting next to your wife. Put the gun down. Put the gun down.
You can kill him
outside, not in my house. Okay.
Make sure I'm not in the line.
Okay. All right. Please, listen. Not in my house. I don't need the law in here.
This wine's got 5 years on it, and it's ready to go. It will only get better for a short period of time or remain drinkable for a long period of time. But I think it's fantastic the way it is.
Well, like I said, when we opened it, I went, I feel terrible. I feel so guilty that we opened this right now.
But you know what? I don't feel guilty because these wines are beautiful and they're meant to be drunk. It. And, there are people that would prefer this wine with 10 more years on it. I personally prefer it on release or shortly thereafter. It does need some air. It was a little closed when it came out of the bottle. But everything Denise said was spot on. I think, again, some hints of graphite. That seems to be an estate trademark. But I thought that this wine was big and bold. It's a food wine. It's exactly what I want. The only thing that's missing here is a big, fat, juicy ribeye.
Oh, tomahawk. Right.
I was just going to say tomahawk.
Yeah, tomahawk. A big, giant hunk of meat right now would be perfect with this.
This wine has everything. It's not for the faint of heart. It's, it's very limited production. I would call this a boutique estate, and this is about the pinnacle of what Napa can produce in terms of Cabernet Sauvignon, and this wine does not disappoint.
This is what you get when you have a very small estate, and you can focus.
Correct.
You can focus on your property. You can focus on each individual vine as opposed to your turning out quantity. And there's nothing wrong with the larger estates. They turn out great wine. But when you have something small like this, you can really just give it that
but
attention.
But what I really want to say is a lot of people complain that about the parkerization of wines and fruit bombs and jammy. This wine is not jammy.
No.
It is not a fruit bomb.
No, that's why I love it.
It is not parkerized. Yeah. I would argue that I don't know what Robert Parker's given it, but it may not be his highest rated wine.
Probably
but
not.
I would argue
it's not that style.
That this eclipses many of the things he's given very top
this
scores
to. This is a wine
to.
That you get to
this is
once you've climbed the ladder of all the other wines.
Right. Well balanced, well made, extremely well made, very limited production, very difficult to find. I don't think you'll find this in any retail store. Mm-hmm. These are high-end restaurant wines. These are mailing list wines. Mm-hmm. These are aspire to a special occasion wines. And honestly, they deserve the accolades. They're
fantastic. If you find it, if you do find one, grab it. It just everything. I mean, everything we've had so far has been fantastic. So,
yeah, I can't thank Roy Estate enough for sharing these wines. Yeah. It's a pleasure to be able to share them with the general public, and just what an amazing job they're doing with this really, really focused, tight, you know, small scale production. Can't say enough.
Well, we're going to be giving the Roy Estate Cabernet Sauvignon 2019 a extremely well-deserved 5.6.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Speaking for me, it's 5 because we don't have 6 on the soundboard. So,
yep.
So we're going to go to our next winery, which is going to be Justin's going to tell us about that.
The site where Schaefer Vineyards is located has a history of grape growing and winemaking dating back to 1880. During Napa Valley's first boom as America's wine country, Napa's pioneer vintners, not volunteer vintners.
I want to be a volunteer vintner.
That would be me too, right?
That would be Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Filled San Francisco's wine cellars, but shipped wine across the country and earned gold medals at the 1889 Paris Exposition. Even during Prohibition, when all the wine production was essentially outlawed in the U.S., property continued without interruption as the site of grape growing by Batista and Maria Sconzi, immigrants from Carlazzo, Italy. John Schaefer, Chicago publishing executive, purchased the site in 1972 and spent the mid-70s planting the hillside estate to Cabernet Sauvignon. In 1978, John transitioned to full-scale winemaking, making the winery's first Cabernet Sauvignon. 1983, John's son, Doug Schaefer, joined the winery as winemaker. The following year, Elias Fernandez joined the winery, initially as assistant winemaker. In 1994, Elias earned the title of winemaker, and in 2002 was named Food & Wine's Winemaker of the Year. Elias continues to this day, celebrating his 40th harvest as winemaker at Schaefer Vineyards.
Awesome. 40 years of making wine. It's a dream.
Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And the first wine we're going to talk about is the Schaefer Vineyards TD9 Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. It's 76% Cabernet Sauvignon, 11% Merlot, 10% Petit Verdot, 3% Malbec, and it's 15.3% alcohol by volume. So it'll get you there. The newest Cabernet from Schaefer Vineyards TD9 is named after John Schaefer's first tractor, which he taught himself to drive in 1973 as part of the founding of the winery. The fruit was grown on the estate vineyards in Napa's Valley's southern foothills, just south of the Stag's Leap District and from the other Napa Valley sites. This wine was aged in 20 months in 100% new French oak barrels from Allier and Chancay. The color is a beautiful dark plum. The nose, very beautiful, bright fruits. The palate, got a variety of bright fruit, a beautiful earthy note to it, and cocoa on the finish. This is a really bold, beautiful wine. What did you think, Maury?
Well, I like this wine. I thought it was very nice, but it's a little bit challenging after coming off of the last one. I'll admit that. I thought it was pleasant. I thought it had a nice color to it. I thought it had a wonderful nose. I loved the fruit. For me, it was just a little bit on the thin side, a little bit on the closed side. It was there. I thought it was well made. It was easy drinking, but
I think it needs more time for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we gave it a lot of oxygen and I think.
Well, we're just comparing it against a 2019 in a very small estate, you know, so that's,
it's hard.
It's mm-hmm. The problem is we're tasting these one after the other and it's not fair to each wine because the order. Yeah. Who the hell knows when we do the order. So what'd you think, Denise?
Well, I agree with everything the two of you said. I think it's cherry season, so it's hard to get the cherries out of my head. I buy them, I eat them, I love them. On the nose, this was very dark red fruit, dark cherry specifically forward. I thought it had a hint of a floral note on the nose, and I thought that was really pleasant. In fact, I would say on the nose for this, it would definitely make me, you know, want to just dive in and taste it. And if I thought that the palate was anything like the nose, I would be just ecstatic. But I was pleasantly surprised, actually. I definitely, on the palate, got the herbal notes. I got the dark cherry, some thyme. I really think, Maury, that this could appeal to a lot of your guests that you're not really sure what they like to open this bottle and serve it. I think that you could definitely appeal to just about anybody in the house that would be interested in drinking a red wine.
Yeah,
I agree. It's got mass appeal.
Yeah, it's much more approachable. Yeah.
Very approachable.
Which is always nice to have around.
We talked about geek whiskeys. The last one was the geek wine. This is the more approachable wine.
And you need to have these around because you never know who you're entertaining. Yeah. I think this would be a great wine. Yeah. To keep and have. And
yeah, I would call this more, not quite entry level, but I would consider this a mid-level, very nice Napa cab. And you want a cab, you're good to go.
Right.
Well, we're going to be rating the Schaefer Vineyards TD9 Cabernet Sauvignon, a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
That leads us to our last one, which is the Schaefer Vineyards 1.5 Cabernet Sauvignon, which is 94% cab, 3% Petit Verdot, 2% Merlot, and 1% Malbec, 15.3% ABV, 12,000 cases produced. It is their signature Cabernet, named in honor of John and Doug Schaefer, who worked together for so long that theirs wasn't a second-generation story. They would call it a generation and a half. This is on their Borderline Vineyard, located in the Stags Leap District. It's aged for 20 months on 100% new French oak barrels from Allier and Tronquay. So, beautiful inky purple on the color, on the nose, cherries, bright red fruit, on the palate. Cherries, plums. More front palate for me than back palate, but there's an herbal note to it. A little bit of rosemary, a little bit of thyme. What do you think, Denise?
I love the nose. I do. I love the fruit, and I love the perfume sort of note that I get.
Yeah, it's perfumey and flowery and bright.
On the palate, it's a little tight. The tannins come through.
Everything about this wine was a little muted, wasn't it?
I think both of these are like we were going, oh, we opened the last one from Roy way too early. These are way too early. Way, way too early. I mean, I think these need another 3 years at least before these are going to develop.
I mean, it's pleasant.
Well, these are younger wines, and I must admit, I've had some current release Napa cabs that I'm ready to drink right away. But I'm hopeful that you're right, Bob, that more time would give them... Yeah. More approachability. I think they're in their sort of what one of my colleagues in my wine group would describe as their backward period, where they're kind of regressing a little bit. They're introverted, but I think these wines will come out of their shell and really shine in the future. I just can't predict exactly when.
Just going off of history of Schaefer, I think, everything I've had from them has been fantastic up to this point. I think these are great wines. I mean, they're good now. I'll open them up now. They're fantastic now. But I think another 2-3 years.
But in fairness, these two compared to, say, perhaps the Hillside Select from Schaefer, which we don't have the luxury of trying today, they're a little bit thinner than some of the things we've had, which are a little more highly extracted.
Different wine.
Yeah.
Different one. What do you think, Justin?
So I think if this was made in 2018, 2019, we'd be spot on for peak. The 2021 releases of cab throughout Napa were kind of more closed off, more muted.
Yeah.
They're not as big and bold as those years. So
we brought a lot of them home after our last couple of trips there. Yeah.
So for 2021, this is really good.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be rating the Schaefer Vineyards, 1.5 Cabernet Sauvignon 2021, a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you. That was lovely.
And thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another wonderful day in the damp, dark, damp basement.
It beats sitting outside in the heat.
Sure does. Yeah.
You know what's in the basement? Wine! And thank you, Justin.
Wishing you all champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that Robin the Leach is rolling in his grave right now with that one.
Oh, he would be,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, Lord have mercy. He was the king in the 80s, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the man, so.
He showed me the good life.
Yeah.
And I've spent the rest of my life
chasing it, trying to get to it. And still not there, but honestly, at this table, we're about as close as I think we're going to get. So. Yeah. Well, for Sip, Sudden Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. Thanks, and remember, life's too short to drink bad wine.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a 1-Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time. Thank you.